Welcome to Life Perspectives on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm your host, Gary Anderson. St. John Paul II in Evangelium Vitae proclaimed that society as a whole must respect, defend, and promote the dignity of every human person at every moment and in every condition of that person's life. And with that in mind, this show covers life issues across the entire spectrum of life, from conception to natural death. Life Perspectives provides a broad overview of the many critical issues in the pro-life movement in 2021 and beyond. And as always, today's guests are engaged in the cause for life and defending the sanctity of every human life, born and unborn. And today we're delighted to have with us Father Michael Lump, Vice Rector at the Pontifical College Josephinum and one of the seminarians there, Sam Severance. Welcome to Life Perspectives, gentlemen.
Thank you
for having us.
Yeah. We are so glad to have you here. Now, Father Mike, we normally open the show with a pro-life prayer that's near and dear to my heart. But you being a man of the collar, I'm sure you can come up with a fantastic prayer for us to get us started today. Please.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God, our Father, your gift of human life is indeed a blessing. May all people of this earth embrace this great gift, cherish this gift, protect this gift of human life, and help those who may be questioning whether or not to have an abortion, so that those who are pondering this may open their minds and their hearts to the great gift of human life and turn away from abortion and instead promote human life and bring the life that they carry to full term. We pray this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again, Father. And if you would, let's start off. Tell us a little bit about your background and your passion for the sanctity of human life, because I know it's very strong for you. Tell us about that, if you would.
I'll just start from the Josephinum era. Well, actually, from my priesthood. When I was a seminarian at the Josephinum, I entered in 1998. I was 38 years old, and so I'm what they call a delayed vocation. And so I've been around the block a time or two, and I've seen a lot of things in my lifetime leading up to that. I still see a lot of things that make you pause and question the priorities of humanity these days. And one of them that I cherish truly is human life. And that goes for the beginning of life in the womb and bring that life to full term. But it's also when you look at all of the human life issues and perspectives that are going on out there. I'm at the Josephinum Seminary. I'm vice rector of the college program there, but I'm also a chaplain at Mount Carmel Hospital, and I'm also one of the night priest chaplains at Riverside. And when you are in a hospital setting, you really appreciate the doctors, the nurses, human life. You see what everyone's doing to protect and to sustain human life. And when you're in nursing homes, you see people who cherish the life of our elders. And so at different stages and phases of life, I think we see people and how they respond to human life and appreciate it all the more as we get older.
Sure.
Because we see it from the beginning with infants and babies and how we love having babies in our world. And this is what sustains us. But then we see how they grow up, how we want to protect those human lives as they grow. We want to nurture these human lives through all these stages of life. And so it's wonderful that you have this program to talk about human life and all its perspectives, because we need, I think, a reminder from time to time in the busyness of life that we all get that human life is truly a gift and sometimes is taken a little lightly by certain people in our society. And we need to get them back to that root that this is God's gift. God gave us life. Only God can take life. And we need to do everything we can to protect, sustain, and support human life.
Absolutely. Yeah, it continues to be devalued. And that's why we're so glad to have priests like yourself, Father, who are there educating their flocks and inspiring us to go out there in the trenches.
That was one of the nice things, too, when I was, because being at the Josephinum, I don't have a parish right now. I help out in a lot of parishes on the weekends, and I still preach the good news.
There you go.
Talk about life.
There you go. Now, you mentioned what I like to call the spectrum of life. Mm-hmm. In fact, we talk about it every show in the introduction when we cover the spectrum of life from conception to natural death. Now, the seminarians Do they also have that wide perspective of life in their curriculum at the Josephinum? Or is it mainly focused on the abortion, on the birth end of it?
I think it's important, a couple of things. Coming into seminary, I see seminarians as always embracing life, cherishing life, protecting life, supporting life in all of its phases and stages. How that is manifested then on campus, obviously they study Evangelium Vitae, they study all of the different church documents about life and respect life, but it's also a matter then of how do seminarians like Sam at the Josephinum go out into the world and talk about human life, promote human life, pray for the protection of human life. And these are things that are done on campus and off campus. And so how are we witnesses then to life off campus? And that's one of the things that's important with the pro-life march, but certainly on Saturdays when seminarians go to some of the abortion clinics in town and pray.
Oh, yeah.
These are important aspects. And this is not something we just say, men, you need to do this. They want to do it. It's inherent. It's inside of them. They desire to do it.
Well, you read my mind, Father, because one of the questions I was going to run by you, what the expectations are for the seminarians in the pro-life arena. Because, yes, I've seen them out there at the abortion clinics for many, many years, and many of them now are well-established priests, which is really gratifying to see. Many that I had seen originally at the old Capital Care on Weber and High for many years, and now they're established priests doing, now in the pulpit, focusing on the life issues and teaching it to their flocks. So I've seen a lot of them come and move on. And now we've got Sam here. Sam, tell our audience today about your experience at the Josephinum so far and what kind of exposure you've had to the pro-life movement. And how you find the time to do that? Because let's face it, we've all heard about this killer schedule that you guys have over there.
Yeah, it's pretty busy.
I guess mornings are what? Morning prayer and mass and classes. And
right.
So I guess you have to do most of this outside activities, in the afternoons and evenings? Or how do you find the time?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you have times throughout the week, and you have to figure out what works best during each week. But, as far as my experience at the Josephinum, it's been very positive. I really enjoy my time there. I just finished pre-theology, and I'll be going into theology this fall, and I'm looking forward to it. And as far as the pro-life movement goes, we already talked about our praying the rosary at the abortion clinic on Saturdays, which is a great opportunity, and we're always receiving emails. And there's a couple guys that kind of take the head at that, and they are always saying, okay, we're meeting at this time to go, and we're going to coordinate carpooling and everything, and they really take the burden off that part so that we just have to kind of wake up and go, which is really good. And then actually for me, I grew up and I went to high school, Bishop Watterson, and I knew about the pro-life movement, obviously, just from being like a cradle Catholic.
Sure.
But I never got to attend the March for Life because I played basketball and baseball, and it just always, didn't work out so much. Obviously, we had COVID, so that I couldn't go last year. But the year before that was my first time going to the March for Life in Washington, D.C. And it was a moving experience, to say the least, about it. I think everybody here has been to it once, and it's just like
Tell me more incredible. About that. What was really special, really impactful to you during your visits to Washington?
I think, obviously, the first thing is just the amount of people. I mean,
young people.
I mean, yeah, exactly, because a lot of times we're told that the people who are pro-life are like old white men just trying to control everybody. And that's not the case for the pro-life movement, and especially for the March for Life. I mean, it's really just a bunch of young people, on fire with the faith, and they want to go out and fight for human life, and they want to fight for unborn children in the womb. So it's just like, as a man studying to be a priest, I look at these young people, and it increases that desire for me to want to serve, to be a minister of the sacraments, and also to stand up for life myself,
Exactly.
So it's just a beautiful thing all around.
Do you find that the energy, you and your peers, the energy is palpable? You feed off each other. I've only been able to go once. It was just a few years ago. I plan to go some more. But I was amazed. by the energy, the excitement. People who haven't been in the march don't realize. You guys are the drivers.
Yeah.
And yet you're also our future, too. So it's so important to continue to attend. What advice do you have for people who are considering going to the march?
Oh, I would highly encourage making it happen. I know it's a sacrifice and 3 or 4 days of, you know, traveling across the country. And that's another thing that reminds me, you know, every gas station you go to, they're your fellow Catholics and people just fighting for life are along with you. You know, you're seeing the same people as you drive from gas station to gas station to stop and get
there
snacks and everything. And it's just like, wow, like this is awesome. But just, you know, my advice to them is you have to go see it, because once you see the mass of people that go, right, it's just like, you know, I'm not alone and neither are the children mm-hmm. in the womb. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, it lights that fire to, okay, we need to go out and we need to make sure that this atrocity that's being committed ends.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I could add to that. What's nice at the march is it's not just Catholics who are there.
True.
That's not a Catholic-only event.
Right.
There are banners, Jews for Life, mm-hmm. Protestants for Life, Presbyterians for Life, and people from different ages, stages, races. It's an incredible event. You know, so this is not a strictly Catholic event. It's a human event, and we're all fighting for human life.
That we are. And, of course, we had a real boost, not this past year, this year, because, of course, as we know, it wasn't really much of a march. It was very limited in scope due to COVID. But what was it? I think the year prior, wasn't that the one where President Trump actually spoke?
Yeah.
For the first time,
a
sitting U.S. president spoke. Now, we've had the vice presidents before, and President Reagan actually spoke remotely or recorded many years ago, but as far as a live appearance at the march, that was the first time a sitting president ever did that. So that was pretty monumental. Of course, now, unfortunately, the pendulum has swung 180 degrees all the way the other direction. So that's going to open up a whole new set of challenges with the administration in Washington and their feelings on the sanctity of human life. But let me talk about another angle too, Sam, because, again, you've been going out, right? Abortion clinics.
Yeah, actually, one of the
different pro-life events.
Yeah, one of the opportunities I have actually with this, I'm in a Spanish immersion this summer, and we on Tuesdays we go pray a rosary in Spanish with the people from Christ the King every Tuesday at an abortion clinic.
So. Now, are you in your cassock?
Not during that.
Because I know at the abortion clinic, Planned Parenthood now, of course, we were successful in shutting down Founders Clinic over this past year or so. Now it's Planned Parenthood, the head of the snake. I know I've seen a lot of seminarians there in cassocks. Mm-hmm. You feel like that's a bullseye? I mean, for the pro-aborts, the people who just despise what we're doing when we're standing up for life, do you feel like you're a target?
Well, I guess it depends on what you mean by target. As far as like
for abuse,
the cassock. Well, I've never
persecution.
I've never been like abused. I guess I've had people say things to me that are not the nicest. Uh-huh. But that's kind of life, you know. But as far as the cassock, you know, when you go out in your cassock, and I'm sure Father Lump can talk about this more. It's just that Roman collar. People know what you're about without even talking to you.
Absolutely. If
you're out there and I'm in the cassock, so people know that I'm either studying to be a priest or I am a priest. Mm-hmm. So it does kind of foster that type of, unfortunately, it's the abortion conversation is very divisive, or it's very,
sure.
You know, they're sides. And obviously Catholic priests, overwhelming majority of them, are on one side. So when they see that cassock, it does raise some emotions, I guess, is the best way
sure.
to put it, right?
Sure. Father, let's pivot back to this issue of the curriculum at the Josephinum. How does that prepare these future priests for what they're going to face? Because as we were talking earlier, the persecutions are growing. It's only going to get worse. How is the Josephinum and other seminaries like it preparing these young priests for what they're going to face? When they're up there, Sam, you fast forward yourself 10 years down the road,
mm-hmm.
and you've got your own flock. Is that an exciting thought? Okay?
Yes.
And they're now depending on you. Okay, to inspire them, to be strong for them. So, Father, how is the Josephinum preparing these seminarians for their future roles?
Well, it all comes down to studying moral theology, so much of this, and the Catechism of the Catholic Church and basic Catholic teachings. And you want to make sure that the seminarians know more than just what. You want to know the why behind the what.
Good point.
So that you can explain it. And I think that was one of the issues. I'm 61. And I look at my generation of Catholics, we were always taught the what, but we were never taught the why. behind it. And I think that's why some, not all, in my generation, cannot answer all of these basic Catholic questions, teachings about the faith. And this is why we're trying to equip seminarians with knowledge, because you need to be conversant in some of this and speak in language that's understandable, normal conversation, normal parlance with people. Because you encounter people from all walks of life, different levels of education, background, experience, and so forth. And that was one of the nice things. I will say this, at the March for Life, when we were there 2 years ago, we had a young gentleman come up to one of our seminarians from Columbus. And he said, I'm thinking about being a Catholic, but I just don't understand the Catholic teaching on abortion and life. And I thought, okay, let's see how this man does in answering the question. And he did a wonderful job. Hmm. He was conversant. He was engaging. And he did a wonderful job in answering this man's questions. Because when you ask a question like that, it's like, okay, do you have 5 hours to talk about this? And, in fact, he had a nice conversation with him. He gave him his phone number and said, if you want to talk about this at some later date, I'll be happy to talk with you. You know? Because when you're on the ball there, as you know, you're there of how many hundreds of thousands of people.
Oh, yeah.
A little loud and all this other, but he was able to engage in dialogue with him, and that's what we need more.
Absolutely.
We need more dialogue in our society.
Absolutely.
That's something we just don't do. We have all these lines that people want to cross and so forth. And so we want to make sure that our seminarians understand what it means to engage in dialogue. Civility seems to be taking a hit these days, and that doesn't mean that we lower ourselves to be uncivil.
Right.
You know, we may have to stand our ground, obviously, but we want to make sure that people understand what it means to engage in dialogue that will bear fruit, fruit that will last.
Amen. Amen. You're listening to Life Perspectives on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio and streaming on stgabrielradio.com, where each month we focus on life issues from conception all the way to the other end of the spectrum, to natural death. I'm your host, Gary Anderson, joined this afternoon by Father Mike Lump, Vice Rector at the Pontifical College Josephinum, along with seminarian Sam Severance. Once again, gentlemen, thanks for being here.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you.
Really, really honored. Sam, one more thing about your schedule. Share with us a day in the life.
Okay,
of a seminarian now.
Yeah, so a typical day starts at 6:45 with morning prayer, and that's usually immediately followed by Mass. And after Mass, we have like breakfast, foods available for about an hour or so, and our classes start at, I think, 8:20 this year. We've done some revisions to the schedule.
Not too bad.
No, it's not. Once we have class, it's kind of like a normal, like how a college would be, where you have like your classes throughout the day, you know, kind of in blocks, and on certain days you
have certain classes. Oh, they do go into the afternoons?
Yeah, they will. Now, we have adoration at 4:45. So after breakfast, it's like class all day, sometime for lunch, and then at 4:45, we'll expose the Lord and kind of have time to pray. And then at 5:45 is when we'll pray evening prayer. After evening prayer is dinner. After dinner, it's, you know, whatever for that day. We might have meetings. It might be a day where you just kind of hang out in the pub or play games with your friends and, you know, whatever that it is for that day. But that's a pretty typical day. There are sometimes things will get moved around because of certain things, but that's pretty typical.
And don't you have an annual, was it a basketball tournament?
We do.
That's well known?
Yeah, we do.
Where you play the alumni? Is that the one I'm thinking of? Or
we actually play different
game?
Seminaries.
Different seminaries?
Yeah. So we'll have different seminaries for the basketball tournament, and they'll come, and usually about 9 or 10 teams, and we'll have like a double elimination tournament or something like that. And, you know, we've had a pretty good run at the PCJ for a couple of years. We have some good ball players led by Joey Rawling. He's our he's kind of our head guy. And, so then and the other thing, the Mud Bowl is a big thing.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. I think that is it.
That's where we put the college versus theology.
There you go.
That's a big deal, too.
Yeah, from what I understand, that really is. Father, you mentioned earlier, you alluded to the hearts of these young men coming in. They have a heart for the cause for life already.
Their hearts are on fire.
Yeah. Do you see that as a real trend, maybe the past few years? Have you seen a shift over the last several years where they are coming in more attuned to the value of life? And how's that happening? Why is that happening?
I'll be honest with you. I think it's always been there. But I think the cause for life has been ratcheted up a point or two or three or four since I was in seminary. And so, again, when I was in seminary, I started in 1998. social media was not like it is today. There was no Catholic radio.
Right.
The ways to communicate were very different. And so I see the seminarians now anxious to participate in getting the word out, you know, so they can be, my favorite scripture phrase, James 1:22, be doers of the word, not hearers only.
There you go.
But this is what it means to get the word out, to understand what the word is in the first place. And it's in scripture, it's in the church documents, and it's all about life, the creation of life, the sanctity of life, mm-hmm. and what we're called to do as human beings. You know, we can broaden this. It's not just a Catholic issue, you know. Some will say it's just a strictly Catholic issue, but no, we're working arm in arm with people of other faiths and other organizations to promote the sanctity of human life, to protect human life.
Yeah. And it's really summarized so powerfully and beautifully in Evangelium Vitae, is it not?
Yes. And it goes to, when you look, this is always something I found fascinating in the Catholic world, where someone may be pro-life when it comes to infants, but maybe they're for capital punishment. And it's like, well, you can't have both.
Need a consistent ethic of life, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we need to think about that. Someone that did a horrific crime, yeah, I understand that. It was horrific, you know. But that doesn't mean that we take their life as a penalty.
Yeah, two wrongs will make a right.
Correct.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
But as far as getting the word out, Father, witnessing out there, speaking the word, it takes so much courage, though. In this world, especially with the, unfortunately, the advent of the cancel culture, which has become so prevalent the past, just this year, actually, where, you know, we're not allowed, we're shut down, especially mm-hmm. people of faith. If we try to speak the gospel, share the gospel, or the value of human life, or marriage between a man and a woman, mm-hmm. imagine that. Mm-hmm. We are shut right down and shamed. So courage, and that's so hard for a lot of people. I know it's been difficult for me,
but you know, this
to learn how to
sure
but overcome
this is the,
that.
This is the fire of the faith, and I think it's important to note that God calls us all to be evangelizers, to all live the faith, to live our lives as witness of faith. But He calls particular men to be priests, deacons, religious. He calls particular women to be religious. Not everyone's called to this way of life, mm-hmm. and so as part mm-hmm. of formation. You know, this is what we help nurture in the seminarians. This is what takes place in places of formation for religious sisters. You know, these are the issues. This is what you need to know so that you can go out and talk about this in a manner that is engaging, in dialogue, and a way that will bear fruit that will last. So people understand what life is, this great gift that God has given us, how to cherish it, protect it, sustain it.
Yeah. And Father, I'm going to ask you to hear my confession, so to speak.
I think the bishop for may have
like,
a problem with
yeah.
that. Doing this on the air.
For someone like me, I'm quite passionate about this cause. Been involved in it for many, many years. I struggle to contain my anger when I see what's going on out there. That's the big struggle for me, as my wife will attest. just maintaining my composure, not wanting to just be very strong, but remaining even keel and the way Jesus did it. Let's face it. He didn't need to get angry and put people down. But that's a struggle for a lot of us. How do you handle that yourself? You're a pretty emotional, animated individual yourself.
Grace,
prayer.
No, it comes down to that. I think we all have that fire in our belly, so to speak. We have that internal fire.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But it's tempered with wisdom and with grace, understanding that we want to imitate Jesus in thought and in word and especially in deed.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
Easier said than done.
Well, it can be at times. We've all had our days, we've all had our moments. And there are times where we really need to crank up the volume a little bit. All of us do. But again, we don't want to be the person who's turning people off by rancor.
Yes, absolutely.
Which happens at times.
Absolutely.
So we want to engage in that dialogue that's going to be fruitful rather than telling people and pointing fingers and, you know, what good does that do?
I mean, over the years, that's been one of the stark differences between Catholics at the abortion clinics, and non-Catholics, where I've seen so many of them just calling names, putting the women down, and the Catholic approach has always been very prayerful, saying the rosary. So yeah, to your point, absolutely. But as we get down to our last minute or so here, Father, what would you say, what advice would you give to people listening today, this afternoon, who want to get that word, who want to share it, but they're fearful about the blowback, the toxic blowback they may experience? What advice do you have for them?
Well, here's where I would say get involved. And this is, there's a number of ways you can get involved so you can not only educate yourself about some of the issues, but when you're helping those who are pondering, what do I do? This is where you want to get involved with pregnancy decision health centers.
Oh, yeah.
With the Women's Care Center.
Yes, sir.
And for those who have had an abortion who need healing, there's Bethesda Healing Ministry.
Fine organization.
Yes. You want to get involved in these kinds of organizations so you can learn where people are or where they have been. And by doing that, experience is one of the best teachers.
Absolutely.
You know, you can learn what you can in the classroom, but experience is a great teacher. And the more you can gain experience through these kinds of organizations who are outreaching, you'll do yourself a world of good and help save lives.
Great advice. We're very fortunate to have those organizations here. You've been listening to Life Perspectives, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, where we spotlight the missions, challenges, and victories of pro-life organizations here in Central Ohio. And we cover the entire spectrum of life, from conception to natural death. Today, we've been so privileged to have with us Father Mike Lump, the Vice Rector at the Pontifical College Josephinum, and Seminarian Sam Severance. Gentlemen, again, thanks so much for being here. I know how busy you both are. We really appreciate that.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
I'm your host, Gary Anderson, inviting you to join us again next month for Life Perspectives here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Thanks for joining us, and may God richly bless you and yours.